We've said it, we've written it, we've talked about it. This four-game stretch very well could determine the future of this Vikings season, the future of this Vikings organization. And guess what, John? We're probably wrong. It sounds good. It sounds really dramatic. It's a fun thing to talk about. It's a great sports topic, but we don't really know what's going to happen. Every week you watch the NFL and somebody surprises you. The Bengals destroy the Ravens or the Chiefs lose the ability to throw a forward pass. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't even know if Dak Prescott is going to play this Sunday. All we know, it's going to be really interesting. Let's talk about it here with John Krasinski on the Viking Update Show. This is part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod to see all the shows as they're released. Best way to listen, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It is free. It is easy. So John, I think it's going to be a fascinating four-game stretch. Yes, it could knock the Vikings right out of the playoffs, or it could elevate them into very good shape. But, man, we don't know. I mean, that game at San Francisco, as bad as the 49ers look right now, that game could have playoff implications. Because what we're looking at now on Monday after the Vikings bye week is there are five teams in the NFC that have set themselves up to easily make the playoffs. And then there are about five or six other teams like the Vikings who are going to be fighting for that one last spot. And the Vikings are as talented as any of the teams competing for those spots, but we just don't know how it's going to go.
Yeah, it just does seem, Jim, like this is a team that, if it's playing well, can beat almost anybody. And if it's playing poorly, can lose to almost anybody. I mean, and I think like that's kind of the nature of the NFL with the parity that is involved in it in this day and age. But I think it's especially true for the Vikings because they went into the bye coming off an impressive win against the Panthers on the road. You know, it wasn't anything that was, you know, that you said, okay, they've fixed all their problems, because look at what Sam Darnold did and look at how bad that he's been for most of this season. But you know, you go into the bye feeling pretty good and you come out of it and you look at the schedule and you say, okay, pack the lunch. I do think you're right in terms of, we don't know what's going to happen, but I do think that after this stretch, we will have a little bit more clarity on, is this team a really good team? Is this team kind of what we have seen from the Vikings in the past as a group that just can play against the mediocre and the run of the mill teams, but then against the big boys, you know, just doesn't have what it takes. And so when the dust settles here, I think we'll have a little bit better opportunity to evaluate, because the sample size is going to be bigger on the games played as well. But yeah, to say that I know what's going to happen going into this stretch, shoot, man, I really don't know. One thing I do know is maybe that Bengals loss wasn't as bad as we all looked at it, right? I mean, they are playing very, very well. They just crushed the Ravens. And so that kind of makes you evaluate a little bit differently as you look at the totality of the Vikings body of work as well and say, okay, it looked bad at the time, but maybe not so much now.
I thought they had to win at Cincinnati because of the difficulty of the rest of this first half of the schedule. And that might end up being true. They might end up having needed that victory when we get to the end of the season. But I was absolutely wrong about the Bengals being just a bad franchise with a gimpy quarterback. Burrow is excellent. Jamar Chase is excellent. Joe Mixon is excellent. Hendrickson is excellent. They appear to know what they're doing in terms of putting together a team. Burrow might be the next great quarterback. I actually look at the Vikings. The Vikings are 3-3. And now, knowing what we know now, I think their best two games of the year might have been Week 1 and Week 2, losing at Cincinnati, losing at Arizona.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. You're right, because Arizona looks great, and the Vikings should have won that game. And Cincinnati was right there for them. So, yeah, if they had found a way to kind of squeak those two out on the road, holy cow, that just changes everything. And not just from, like, just looking at the record, and obviously two wins instead of two losses would be better, but two road wins against really good opponents really would have been great. But then you look at the game against the Lions, the game against the Browns, you know, even the Panthers game, like to allow Sam Darnold to go down the field the way that he did at the end and make it a lot harder on yourselves than it needed to be. Like, those are the things that you look at, and you even if you want to be optimistic and you want to say, well, yeah, maybe it's all coming together, those performances, stick out, I think, as much as the tight losses. And so that's just the kind of thing that really kind of is holding me back from really saying that, hey, this is a team to be reckoned with. This is a team that could do damage in the playoffs. There's just been as much and as many examples of, you know, haphazard play, of lackluster play, as there has been of really competitive and really inspired play.
Yes, and I want to hone in on what worries me about this team and this franchise. Do want to thank our sponsors, BetUS.com. We'll be doing our BetUS picks later in the segment. Our promo code is TNorth125, gives you 125% sign-up bonus. BetUS.com, the BetUS app. Thank you to StarBank, StarBank.net, and Pizza Barn, Pizza Barn in Princeton. So this offense has been pretty good. Now, it hasn't been uniformly good until their last game against Carolina. They weren't scoring at all in the second half. They weren't scoring offensive touchdowns. They have faltered at inopportune times. They've been surprisingly good and efficient in the last minute or two of games when they've actually had to score, but that's also been against some really bad teams. And we know Sam Darnold was a mirage the first few weeks. He's been terrible. Now he's been benched. I just don't know if in this game stretch against four really good offenses coming up, whether this defense can hold up. You have, you know, and this is assuming Dak Prescott can play. The indications right now are talking on Monday morning that he has the boot off and that he's going to be able to play. If Dak Prescott can play, I don't know how this defense stacks up against the Dallas offense. I don't know how this defense stacks up against the Ravens offense. I don't know how this defense stops the Chargers. I don't know how this defense stops the Packers.
Especially, Jim, because Patrick Peterson is out, right? I mean,
yes.
Like that's such a huge thing, because with all of the kind of things that they have had to deal with in the secondary, with the defensive backs, cornerbacks in particular, with Breland, with Dantzler, with all of the flux there, the one constant had been Patrick Peterson. He'd been playing very well. He's kind of the veteran leader to that unit. And now that he is out for the next several weeks at least, it's just a backbreaker for them. I mean, it's a defense that has consistently, I don't know if we want to say underperformed, but I think we can say underperformed. I mean, I just don't think that in the biggest spots they have come through nearly enough for this team right now, for all the veterans that they have and all the money that they're spending on that side of the ball. And now you have Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, like everybody coming in, and that Cowboys offense is wide open and they score points, and Dak Prescott is playing as well as any quarterback in the league. So if he is healthy and if that calf is okay, that's going to be very, very difficult for them to keep the Cowboys under 30 points. Ravens, I would imagine, Lamar Jackson, and just the way that, you know, now that he's getting Rashad Bateman back from injury, and he'll have a couple of weeks to get some chemistry going with him, that's going to be a very difficult haul. Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, like the Packers are not losing anymore. Like they're just like, I mean, that Saints game seems like 10 years ago now with the way that they're playing. So yeah, I think that really, unfortunately or fortunately, whatever you want to say, this just puts so much more of the weight on Kirk Cousins' shoulders. Like he is going to have to be playing like he has been playing against the Panthers, just like kind of the lights out, putting the ball right where it needs to be in tight windows and winning shootouts. Like that's, I think, what they have to prepare for in this next stretch of games, is I just do not see another 19-17 game coming like they had with the Lions, because this defense is kind of hanging on by a thread. And unless Mike Zimmer found some secret sauce over the bye week to really change things up, it's going to be some high scores coming down the stretch here.
I'm going to search for a ray of hope here. But before I do that, I do want to thank our sponsors, BetUS, BetUS.com. We're going to do the picks later. TNorth125 for 125% sign-up bonus. And speaking of money, if you try to call your bank lately, do you bank locally? Star Bank is our bank at the Talk North Podcast Network. They're a family-owned local bank with branches across central and west central Minnesota. With Star Bank, you get all the bells and whistles you would expect from a bank these days, but they have no 800 number, no call center, and no confusing phone queue. You can even request your bank banker's cell phone number. That's how they operate. Star Bank is a true Minnesota family-run business. Check them out at starbank.net. Star Bank is a member FDIC and equal housing lender. We've been telling you about Pizza Barn in Princeton for a long time. They sponsor Preps Today with John Millay, which is our prep sports show on the network. They've been sponsoring this show for a long time, and their food truck is everywhere these days. They've always been a great family-run business in Princeton, community-serving business, employing high school kids, working with their schedule so they can play sports and do activities, giving pizzas to officials, catering school events and community events. Now they can come to you, and they will come to you. They've had so much success with their food truck that they're going to start a second food truck. We had the food at their food truck out at the TCO opening a couple weeks ago, and it was fantastic. Brandon and I both had lunch there, and we're kind of frankly surprised that you can make pizza that good in a food truck. They have figured it out. Pizza Barn in Princeton. Go to Princeton, but if you can't go to Princeton, have Princeton come to you. So here's my ray of hope. Knowing that the main problem, at least perceived main problem of this team for the last few years, has been offensive line play. That's been the thing they've had the most trouble fixing on a perennial basis. Darrisaw does offer a ray of hope. If he can protect Cousins' blindside, if he gives Cousins more time, if he opens up more holes in the running game, if he makes the offense more efficient by really fixing one of their main problems, does that transform this team or this franchise, or am I overplaying it?
I don't know that you are, Jim. He has a different dimension to him, it seems like, so far. He has some size. He has some physicality. I think he toughens up that group. And, you know, maybe he's still got some things to work on technique-wise. Maybe he's still kind of getting his feet underneath him as he transitions into it full-time. But I do think that they chose Christian Darrisaw. They chose Wyatt Davis later in the draft, and we haven't seen him yet. But they chose both of those guys to try and add some toughness to a front five group that too often it gets pushed around in big situations. And so I do think the unit has seemed a little more stout with him in there. And certainly at left tackle, that's sort of the foundation block of the whole offensive line. And so if you don't have someone collapsing the quarterback's blind side, that kind of can change things up a little bit. If you don't have to give that tackle as much help, it just allows you to concentrate on other parts of making the front grow, work together. And so then you look at if Darrisaw is able to really establish himself and be a very good, steady left tackle. Now you have him and Brian O'Neill as the bookends, and Brian O'Neill is a terrific player. And so that all of a sudden just gives a little bit more balance to the line, and I think gives them a little bit more of just a way to carry themselves with some confidence. And so I think that can play a big role. Is it going to totally fix everything? No, I think they'll still deal with some pressure up the middle and things like that. And Garrett Bradbury and his guards have to kind of stand up to that a little bit more. But certainly being able to put a guy on left tackle who you don't have to worry about and who maybe sets a different kind of tone and edge is a big, big step forward for the group as a whole. And they still may have some things that they have to do interior wise and things like that. But I mean, if you have both of your tackle spots set, that's a nice place to start, at least for an offensive line.
An offensive line analysis is really interesting because if you go back and look at Super Bowl winning teams, you know, now it was different in the early days when you could build an offensive line, keep it all together, not worry about free agency. But really, in the free agency era of the NFL, you don't need a great offensive line to win a championship. You need to not have a weak link that drags down the whole group, and you need to have everybody working well together. You need to have them be well coached, and need one or two guys that you just say, okay, don't have to worry about that guy. Don't have to scheme for that guy. And it really helps when those guys are tackles, you know. And now if O'Neill and Darrisaw can hold down the edge, you know, you can do some different things to help out the interior line if you need to.
That's right. You can, you know, you can use a running back or a tight end or you know, CJ Ham or whatever to kind of help alleviate some of that stuff, the pressure in the middle. And I do think that if Cousins knows like that he doesn't have to worry about someone coming from that side, that allows him to maybe approach things differently too in terms of where he moves in the pocket, like how he kind of, where he feels comfortable setting up and making throws. And so that all really translates as well. I think in the past, you know, with Rashad Hill, with, you know, with kind of what they've had to deal with at that spot, Cousins never could drop back, firmly plant that the right leg and know that he was going to be okay. If Darisaw can get to a point, and it's still very early in this, but if he can get to a point where Cousins really trusts him to keep his backside clean, that allows him to have peace of mind as he's coming back against some of the better defenses that he's going to be facing coming up here, and really kind of look down the field with confidence and not worrying about what's going to be hammering him from the backside. And so, you know, I just do think that, you know, left tackles are the highest paid player on an offensive line routinely for a reason, because they are so important to setting that edge and to really kind of the identity of the offensive line as a whole. So if Darisaw can become that franchise left tackle, that's another marquee position with quarterback, with running back, with defensive end, with, with cornerback, with shutdown corner. Like, those are the big, big positions in this league. And so that's why getting him out there and seeing him already holding up, in a situation where he's been out with an injury for a while and he's just getting his feet wet, I think that's encouraging for what the Vikings want to see going forward here.
You and I know from covering sports for decades and spending a lot of time in locker rooms back when we were allowed to do so, that it's always a false premise that teams have like a unified worldview, right? I mean, the backup left tackle and the starting middle linebacker, there's no reason to think they're exactly the same person or view everything the same way. But for just as a thought experiment, if the Vikings actually had one cumulative, cohesive view and you could test it, how optimistic internally do you think they really are about this season? Do you think this is a group that's worried? Do you think this is a group that feels like, hey, we're gonna show these, you know, these bleepers that how good we are in the next month?
You know, I think they came into the season very confident. I think Mike Zimmer especially felt like, I got my guys back on defense. I have Hunter, I have Kendricks, I have Barr. We're going to be good. I have Pierce. So I have my guys back. We are going to get back to the Vikings football that I want to be, that's been successful since I've been a coach here. So I do think that kind of trickled down to the rest of the organization in having some real optimism, some real confidence about where they are or where they were. I do think that wavered absolutely in the middle of this season with the Cleveland and Detroit in particular. You look at the way that things went in those games, and I think that Mike Zimmer in particular was humbled, especially by the Detroit loss, or not loss, the win. I think that sort of ratcheted up the sense of urgency collectively within the walls in Egan, like, uh-oh, if we don't get things going here, there's going to be some big changes. And so I think that Detroit game was kind of the first thing that really maybe made a bunch of people internally look in the mirror and say, maybe we're not as good as we thought we were. And so we better fight and claw and practice and focus and do everything. We have no margin for error, I think is basically the way to put it. So that has ratcheted up the urgency. That's ratcheted up the intensity. And now they're going into this stretch of games with belief that they can compete and do things. But I think if people were really honest in the back of their minds right now, they would say, I don't know how this is going to go. I'm not sure that we have the bullets to keep up with these guys. And if it works out, great. But there will be, let's say they go on a great run here and they get into the playoffs and everything goes well. I will not be accepting once that happens, people saying, we always believed. We knew that this was going to be the case. You guys just didn't believe in us. I don't think that. I think there was some real concerns about what was going on, and there still is going into this stretch here.
And I still think they were one player away from having the Wilfs having a meeting about whether they needed to make changes after that Detroit game. So,
no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. One more topic, and then we're going to do our quick picks. Here's the other view. Just to have fun, play the role of optimist for once in my life. Packers go to Arizona Thursday. Very well could lose and be 6-2. If Prescott can't play, or if the Vikings pull one out, all of a sudden they're 4-3 and they're one game behind the Packers after seven games. That would not be a horrible place to be.
No, it wouldn't be. I mean, that's what you want for sure, considering how things started. And so I think you certainly, if you can beat the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football on Halloween, a team that looks really good, that is loaded with talent, if you come out of that with a win, I think that they should feel confident and they should feel good about things. Now, I still am not going to say that, okay, there's going to be a changing of the guard here at the top of the NFC North, and the Packers better be looking over their shoulders here because here come the Vikings. I would not be ready to say that. But I would be at least saying that the Vikings are relevant in this discussion, because what we have wanted to see from the Vikings is for them to play a very quality opponent and win that game. And so if that happens on Halloween night, people will be pouring out of that stadium, all fired up, and they have every right to be. Also knowing that, hey, it's only going to get tougher from here in some ways.
Let's do our picks. Good stuff from John. You can also listen to Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider later in the week at TalkNorth.com. Again, the best way to listen to any show or the network as a whole, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It is free. It is easy. Let's do our picks. Green Bay at Arizona Thursday night. Arizona giving 3.5 points.
I'm going to take Arizona. I just really, really like the way that they have played. The Thursday night thing concerns me. Aaron Rodgers concerns me in terms of making this pick. But it just seems like the Cardinals, they're carrying themselves like one of those teams that knows it's good, and that knows that this is the time for them. And so I'm going to take Arizona with trepidation, because I love Rodgers, and I think that they have found something in Green Bay, and they've found another gear, and they're going to be great. But I'm going with the home team in this one.
I'm going to take the Packers just because I think it could be a kind of a wild game, and I like Rodgers to keep it close. And I could see the Packers winning. I could see the Packers losing by a field goal. Yes, I could see Arizona winning, but if I have to pick one or the other, I am going to take the Packers. Reminder that BetUS has been serving clients for 25 or more years and prides itself on being known as America's favorite sports book. With action on every sport across the world, they can pretty much guarantee that they've got your game. BetUS offers the industry's biggest retail bonuses to keep their players betting, and they have a great loyalty program. Again, use the promo code TNorth125 to get 125% sign-up bonus at BetUS.com or on the BetUS app. All right, New England at San Diego. The Chargers giving up
Los
6 points. I'm sorry. I do it all the time. I probably always do it. And partly I wish it was still true, because I love San Diego, and I think they should be in San Diego. But in Los Angeles, yes. New England going to San Diego to I almost did it again. Los Angeles to play the Chargers. Chargers giving up 6.
I like the Chargers, even though they've been a little shaky at points this season. Mac Jones has really played well for New England, but I think that there's a ceiling on the Patriots that is just a lot lower. And so I'm going to go with the Chargers here. I think they have more talent. I just don't think that that they're ready, that the Patriots are ready to go all the way out west and win that game. I think that Herbert wins, maybe in a little bit higher scoring game, but I just think that the Chargers have more horses than the Patriots do, and so they win.
I agree completely. Now, Dallas at Minnesota. Dallas giving 2 points on the road.
Oh, man, this is such a tough one, because if Patrick Peterson was available, I would feel a lot more comfortable about taking the Vikings. And then you have Dak's injury. But if Dak plays, I got to take the Cowboys with the points right now. I still don't believe yet in this Vikings team. And if they win to this weekend, they will probably change my view on them. But I don't trust this defense indoors in a night game, even though they're always really good at home or much better at home. I don't trust them to be able to stop the Cowboys offense enough to keep Dallas from squeaking one out here. So I think the Cowboys win maybe by three, maybe by four, and you know, they take those points with them.
And one thing, Barry Barger, the BetUS betting expert who joins us frequently on these shows, tells us is, hey, watch the line. This is, you know, we're picking because it's time to do our picks. Mm-hmm. Neither of us would bet anything until we know whether Dak Prescott's going to play or not.
Yeah, exactly.
And see what the corresponding line is. Sitting here on Monday morning, I have to take the Cowboys. It looks like Prescott's going to play. He's going to play against a secondary that looks pretty weak. I have to believe the Cowboys are going to score enough points to win. But, of course, check back later in the week on the Lions. Check back later in the week to listen to Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider, where we'll do more analysis with more information. For now, thank you for listening to the Viking Update Show. Thank you for John Krasinski, for Brandon Morton, for Karen Cleary, our sales executive. This is TalkNorth.com.